are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.
So I want to talk about letting go because it's something that we struggle with emotionally, and I know that is something that I've struggled with. And I'm very grateful that I have this opportunity to talk about letting go, because one of the things they teach you in ministerial school is that when you start counseling other people, chances are other people are going to bring things to you that you need to work on. And this is one of those things that I continue to work on. Now, just for a little context, my wife and I split up about 16, 18 months ago, and I have struggled to let go of the life that I thought that I had. And in most cases, that's exactly what we are doing. What we need to let go of is not necessarily the past. What we need to let go of is the future that we had designed in our own minds. The coronavirus is teaching us that more than anything. For me, over the last 5 years, my speaking has gone up, 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 up. My fees have gone up. The number of people hiring me have gone up, 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 up. And then the coronavirus came and I had to let all of that go. Because what happens in the speaking industry, just so you'll know, whenever there's a crisis like there was in 2008 and like there is now, what happens is that everybody contracts. The event planners tend to contract. They reduce their budgets. And so what happens, they still want top line speakers. Top line speakers still need the most amount of money, still want to work. And so they drop their prices. So then the people at the next level drop their prices and the people at the next level drop their prices. So really a lot of those gains that I made towards getting these high level prices, we've somewhat had to let go. And I'm grateful that I still have the opportunity to continue to speak and to speak from my home studio, which has totally changed and created a better reality for me. So a lot of times when we have to let go of something, we can't see it, but it's going to be a much, much better existence for us in the future. My ego still wakes me up sometimes in the morning and makes me think about what I thought was going to be my future in Kansas City with my wife and my daughter there. And the other day it woke me up. Now remember, you've got a part, it's almost like a virus in your brain. It's a scratch in your record that is there to sort of make you feel bad. We've talked about this a lot. And it was making me lament what was going on. And then I had to sit down and say, okay, let's say that I had never left Kansas City. I was no longer living in Key Largo. What would my life be like? And I sat down and did a comparison. And that is one of the best things that we can do. I realized that if I was still married, still living in Kansas City, I would either just be about 4 or 5 days past an argument that we would have had, or one was on the horizon. And I have not had that stress and that irritation in so long. I feel much happier here. I mean, obviously, I live in paradise now. So many of my areas of my life have improved, and we have to let go to move forward. This is something that we all know, and yet we struggle with. There's an old saying that you can't get to second base if you keep one foot on first. You've got to run out. You've got to be vulnerable there. You've got to let go of the safety that you have to find what lies before you. There's a wonderful story. I've got a couple this morning I want to share with you. One that really made me understand this idea of letting go. And every time I think of letting go, this is what comes to me. I've always been kind of crafty and like make crafts kind of thing. My mom was big into that when we were little. It was a way to keep us from hitting each other, paint things, do things, make things, etc. So I've always done models and stuff. And when I was 17, my mom got into and had heard about how to do sand sculpture. So you would buy a nice glass that you want to hold your sand sculpture. And you'd take a spoon and you would pour in various colors of sand, and you can actually create scenes. I created one that was a beach with the tide breaking and the sun coming. This was all made out of sand inside of a glass that you literally pour in, and then you take sticks and manipulate the sand. I remember making a bird flying in the sky by simply putting a little bit of black and then pressing the middle and the ends down and then filling it with more sand. And sure enough, it looked like a bird. Well, I had to do a assignment in my English class to write a poem. So I wrote the poem, and I wrote the poem about a bird on the beach and all this. And we also had to bring in something to show, kind of like a show and tell. So this sculpture, now remind you, is just sitting inside of a goblet about this tall. There's nothing holding it in place. And so I'm so careful. I take it out to my car. I put it in a box. I seat belt it in my car. I make sure it cannot move. And I drive uncharacteristically slow to school that day. I go in, I have my first couple of classes. It's time for my English class. I go out to my car. I open the door to get the sand sculpture, and as I open the door with it in my hand, my elbow bumps the door. And you know how your elbow will jump when it's jarred? Yep, you got it. Dump the whole thing on the ground. And in that moment, all I wanted was for every one of those grains of sand to be back in that jar in their original place. And I realized, I can't do that. There's no going back. There's great maturity in realizing you can't go back. And we're designed to let go. We are designed to not go back. We are designed to move forward. Let me talk about positive thinking, and I don't mean everything's going to work out great all the time. Although that is optimistic thinking. That's not positive thinking. That's optimistic thinking, and that's actually a very good practice. The word positive literally means what's present. The word negative means what's missing. Look it up. That's a very important distinction. All complaining, which you know is my thing, all complaining is based in negative thinking. It's based on what's wrong, what is missing. When you are around people who are chronically unhappy and depressed, they are people who have not let go because they are talking about what is missing rather than appreciating what is present. What is present? I told you that I sat down, I journal every morning, and I've journaled about this transformation that's happened in my life in the last year and a half or so. And one of the things that has helped me really let go is appreciating how much better my life is. Like I said, not only am I not anticipating or healing from an argument, but I've also found myself becoming a lot calmer, a lot happier, a lot more focused on my work and my purpose in life. And so I'm very, very grateful for you, for that, for you, because a great deal of my purpose is to create things to help you with your life. So I am grateful for that opportunity. The question is often not how do we let go. The question is whether or not we are willing to let go. A lot of people don't let go, especially about divorces and things like that, because they want to beat themselves up about the choices that they have made. We feel some sort of redemption and self-flagellation over things that we have done in the past. And we know that that's not healthy, and it is not going to contribute to a better you. Back when I was the minister of the church from 2005 to 2010 in Kansas City, and Jerome was there. Jerome would often sing when I was there on Sunday mornings. He came about once a month, if I remember. I did a thing one Sunday morning based on something I had read about, and it was called the Philippine Monkey Trap. Now, I haven't looked it up this morning to see if it's true, and I don't know if it's truly happened in the Philippines, but it's a great story, and I've read about it a lot. So what I did was I got a coconut, just like we see around here. It's so interesting now where I live. It used to be everywhere I lived, there were pine cones. Now everywhere you walk, there's coconuts on the ground. It's cool. But we got a coconut, and what we did was, according to the way these monkeys are trapped in these islands, is that a small hole is cut at one end of the coconut. I should have brought a coconut in here. A small hole is cut. The end is cut off, the end of the coconut, okay? So mostly you've still got this football shape, but the end is cut off. And then it's hollowed out. So someone hollows it out with a tool, all right? So you've got an empty coconut shell that's about 90% with a little hole at the end. So, got a meeting this morning, and I just got a reminder on WhatsApp. So with this coconut, what they would do then is put peanuts into the coconut and tie one end, the end that is still together, to a string. So it's tied to a rope, rather, which is tied to a string. Then you've got a coconut that's empty with the very tip end of it cut off and peanuts inside. Now what happens is the monkeys go in. They smell the peanuts, they see them in the coconut, but they can't get them out. They can't shake them out. So they reach their hands in to get the peanuts. And the captors just come up and grab the monkeys. You know why? The monkeys grab the peanuts, which are inside of the coconut, which is tied to a tree, and they won't unclench their fist. They won't let go of what they thought they wanted, even at the peril of their liberty. Does that sound familiar? We need to just let go. We need to just let go. I actually did this example in the church when I was speaking there. My daughter dressed up. We rented her a monkey suit. She came in and we had a coconut tied to a platform. Anyway, it's very true. If you put your hands in and you hold on, you're ultimately going to get taken or die. So how do you let go? You make a commitment to letting go. You realize how not letting go is keeping you held and captive and is not allowing you to move your life forward. You let go by doing it little by little every day. And by mostly being a positive person, by focusing on what is present rather than what is missing. That's how you let go. Life simply is. You know, the great French poet Colette said, I had a wonderful life. It's too bad I didn't realize it at the time. When we let go, we begin to see the beauty in life. So, let me check in one more time with those of you who are here. Any parting shots before we say goodbye? We've got our complaint-free meditation coming up in just a minute. While those of you who are here with us make your closing comments, take a look at this if you would.
Take care of your mental health.
The daily meditation really helps me be grounded, stay focused, certainly calmer.
Find peace through guided meditation.
I have never felt better. I'm calmer.
I've been able to remain calm during the day. Less fear, less worry.
Live daily meditations or on demand 24/7 with number one international best-selling author, Will Bowen.
Meditation for me basically became like an anxiety medication.
Will is an expert in guided imagery. His voice is very calm, very soothing.
Become part of this powerful, global online meditation community. Try complaint-free meditation now and receive a free meditation ebook as Will's thank you gift.
I feel calm, I feel rested.
Highly recommend it.
It's really made a difference in my life.
Daily routine for me.
Learn more at complaintfreemeditation.com.
If you'd like to find out more, go to complaintfreemeditation.com. We meditate live every weekday morning, and you don't have to join us live if that's inconvenient. We've got lots of people who join us later on demand anytime. We've got almost 100 meditations for you to choose from, and I lead every single one of them in real time. Let me one more time look at your comments. Jennifer says she's trying to let go of toxic people. Good point. Question is, why are you holding on to them, right? Thank you to those of you, by the way, who are sharing. Click share right now, if you would. Tell your friends and family about this message. Trying to let go of unrealistic expectations, says Heather. Okoro says, good morning from Biafra land. Biafra. We've never had anyone from there. Everyone say hello and send a little love that way. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And we're so grateful for all of you to be with us wherever you are. Jerome says, letting go of things that are not healthy to me. I heard that, Jerome. One of the things I struggle with is feeling like I don't have enough time. Well, put the important things first in your life and you'll find you do. There's my cousin Bobby Williams, top fan also. Jane Byam says, good morning, happy Friday. Good morning, says Ann Price. Susan says, good morning from Salem, New Hampshire. And wow, thank you. Needed that this morning, says Jane, my honor. Michelle Doherty says, powerful message. Thank you. Michelle is part of our complaint-free meditation program. She was that person at the very beginning whom you saw. Good morning. Thank you. I struggled to get out of bed today. Imagine my surprise when you jump-started my idea. There you go, Jennifer. You never know. I might just be talking about you. So one of the main reasons to be here every single day, make sure I'm not talking about you. Listen, enjoy today. Tomorrow's Halloween. Be super duper safe. There will be future Halloweens. Make sure that you are here for all of them by wearing a mask. And I don't mean a Halloween mask. If you want to wear a Halloween mask, wear a medical mask underneath it. Be safe. Get out and vote. And I look forward to joining you live again this Monday. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. And I will see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free